Well, then I'm preaching to myself. No, I was kidding. The foundation built on the gospel. Just before I started the sermon, I was in Denmark. We were 8 of us going to see my family in Denmark a few weeks ago. And everything was good, except for one thing. You see, one day, my family decided to go shopping. And we agreed. I was the one with the car. I agreed to meet them at 3:30. And in the meantime, I'll go and visit my mother. So I'll go and visit my mother. And we went on a little trip. And she said, I'll go with you downtown in this mall. There's a parking lot up top of the mall. And I'll go with you and we'll pick up your family. And so we were supposed to meet at this particular store at 3:30. And I go there at 3:30, and guess what? They're not there. And my mother's sitting in the car. And so I wait 5 minutes. I wait 10 minutes. I wait 15 minutes. I wait 20 minutes. And in the meantime, I'm trying to Facebook them or FaceTime them because I don't want to spend money on texting. It's another country. And so I click, 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 click. And I'm getting frustrated. They're not there. And then I hit this button. I don't know what I did, but I hit this button. And now I don't know what I do. Now I don't know how to turn it off. And you see, it starts singing, and it's on loud, okay? It's as loud as it can go in the middle of the mall, and there's people around, and it starts singing, and I start kicking. Where did this come from? I don't know how to turn it on. And I feel embarrassed as I'm walking through the mall, and it keeps singing. I had no way of turning it off until it went through the whole song. And people were looking around. And then I got upstairs. I take my mom home and come back. And by this time, they were looking for me. And my wife says, maybe you should listen to that song. I just want to tell you, God has a great sense of humor. And he's not too far away in the midst of your storm. Amen. Today I want to talk about the gospel that's built on that's building your foundation. The gospel that builds your foundation in life. There is a message that Jesus came with that if you get it, not here, but here, it gets you from the darkness into the light. It gets you from being lost to being found. It gets you from being hopeless to becoming hope, full of hope. It gets you from being faithless to finding faith. It gets you from feeling purposeless to finding purpose. Now Jesus says this in Matthew 7. Anyone who listens, let's read it together, my friends. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, collapse with a mighty crash. At my in-laws' I think it was 1940s or 50s, there were some French immigrants, pioneers, and they came in and they built a house. I think it was three-story. Do you remember? I've seen the picture. And they built it on rock, like big rocks. I don't know if I heard this story, but I understand that on the third floor, the stairs were so narrow that his wife couldn't get up those stairs. After 4 or 5 years, the whole thing collapsed. It sunk into the ground. I don't think it had anything to do with her trying to get up to the third floor. But it sank into the ground because there was no foundation that could hold that big, heavy house. And today, it's laying in ruins. I want to tell you something, my friends. When you build your life on the wrong foundation, it crumbles and it cracks sooner or later. And the question then is, what are these cracks? And my friends, this is what it is. It is the lies that you believe about God and about yourself. It's lies that have crept into your soul that has come for you to believe things, and by that you begin to act out things that causes destruction in relationships, in how you behave, in how you think, in how you feel. I mean, really, that's true. And it may not show at first, but it will show eventually. How many remember the story of the Titanic? How many have watched the movie Titanic? Beautiful story, romantic story. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was 1917 or something like that. This amazing ship sailed from England to New York. And it was called the unsinkable ship. The latest technology, the most advanced technology. It was supposed to bring passengers faster than anybody had ever come from England to New York. And as you know the story, it didn't happen that way. Now, as we understand, they actually got warnings. I believe several warnings from fishing boats who could see that there was an iceberg in the path of that ship. And so they didn't text them back then, but they, whatever you call that, morsed them and told them and warned them. And as I understand, they had several warnings that there was going to be an iceberg. They got to do something, but they ignored it. Why did they ignore it? Because they believed that this was an unsinkable ship. And then came the moment when the captain saw the iceberg and he panicked. And when he panicked, he tried to get around the iceberg, and the ship hit the iceberg on the side and it broke holes in that ship and sank it in a matter of a few minutes. But had he not done that, but hit the iceberg head on, that ship would never have gone down because it was designed to hit icebergs head on. Why am I saying this? Why did the ship go down? Not because it wasn't a fancy ship, not because it wasn't very well built, but because they believed something that simply was not true. And that is that it was an unsinkable ship. My friends, there are things in your life that may cause you to believe. But in the end, it'll cause a havoc in your home, in your relationships, in your lives. And when you face the iceberg, you may try to avoid it, but in the end, there's only one way, and that is to hit it head on. How many says amen to that? As an atheist, my friends, I grew up believing that we were merely the end of an evolutionary process. And we went from pots, what do you call it, tadpoles to monkeys to humans or something like that. Slime to animals to monkeys. And we're just an evolutionary, we were a cosmic accident. How many thinks that's not very encouraging? So when I was in Denmark about a year ago with my brother and his wife, and they have a son who is he's an engineer. He's incredibly smart, does amazing things, design houses. And so I asked him, so what's purpose in life? They know when I come there, I'm going to ask them some hard questions. So what's purpose in life, young man? He said, I don't know. I said, do you believe that there's a God who has a purpose for you? He says, no. I don't believe there's a God. He said, so then what do you believe? That this body is just about atoms and molecules bouncing around and we just giving in to urges, evolutionary urges, and that you call love or something? He said, yeah, that's what I believe. So what are you going to do with your life? I'm going to work and party. And I said, what are you doing now? I'm working and I'm partying. And I asked him this last time I was home, so what are you doing? He says, I'm working and I'm partying. Do you know how that's going to end? One day, it's going to come a time when his soul is going to say, there is more to life than this. So Jesus came, my friends, with something, a message. How many knows what the message is called? It's called the gospel. And he said to the disciples in Mark chapter 16, he said, go and preach the gospel. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. It is a whole bunch of signs. How many were here last Sunday? And Andrew, he preached about the scripture. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's a power until what? A few people are a little whispering it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally. It is the power unto salvation. So there is a message given to us in the Bible through Jesus Christ that brings salvation, that brings a foundation that will not crack. If you do one thing, there's an if you apply the gospel to your life. Amen. What is the gospel? The gospel, according to the scriptures, is called the good news. How many likes good news? It's like an uncle who you never met, never knew you existed, dies, and he wills you $1 million. And he said, wow, that's just what I needed. The good news is that this is what has already been done for you. And now it's for you to receive it. How many likes to have good news? So what is in this gospel? What is in this message? That is so important that he says to his disciples, go into the whole world and preach the gospel. Because what Jesus knows is that when people receive that message, their life is transformed. Their homes is transformed. And whole societies are transformed. Amen. And not just for now, not just for today, not just for tomorrow, not just for 2019, but for generations to come. Some of you are in church today because you got it. You heard it, you believed it, and you begin to apply it in your home. And now the next generation, your grandchildren, are beginning to experience the fruit of what you did many years ago. So what is in this message? Number one, I don't remember Andrew, he had four P's. I'm not going to go through them all, but I go through one. Let's start with one that I really feel we need to grasp hold of. Number one is the condition of a human heart. And it's called, he called it penalty, because he needed that peace. But it's called sin. Sin. Just hang with me, okay? Don't tune out yet. When I grew up, people knew somewhat the Ten Commandments. But in today's culture, few actually know what that is. How many here will say, I know what the first commandments of the Ten Commandments? I see a couple of hands. I asked that at the healing lodge. And someone said, I don't even know that. The first commandment is, have no other gods. But I have to share with you what I believe makes sense to this generation. And it is that sin, my friends, is self-life. It is doing things out of my own opinions, out of my own desires. I control my life. And that's sin. Well, you can say, you don't hurt anybody, but you are not in the place of God. You're actually opposing God. How many remember the Garden of Eden? What does the enemy do to the Adam and Eve? He says, is it true we cannot eat of any of the trees in the garden? And they said, no. We can eat all of them except for one. Because if we eat of that one, we'll die. And Satan said, no. You'll become like God. As an atheist, my friends, I was my God. I woke up in the morning and I decided there was no mind of Jesus in me. I was only mindful of myself. And I believe that the only happiness I could ever encounter was whatever I created myself. How many believe that was going to have some effect later on when you get married? Sin, in the eyes of God, is a self-life. It's all about what I want to do. And when you hear the gospel, when God presents it to you, that self-centered life is exposed. And they don't care how wealthy or how poor or how bad or whatever you've done, that's the root of sin. And Jesus came and said, I know your sin. I know your choices. I know your icebergs. I know how you failed to believe me. And now there's an iceberg in front of you. And if you made a mistake, you're going to crash. But I have good news for you. How many likes to hear your good news? And our speaker last Sunday, he used these fancy words, appropriation. Did I get that okay? Thank you, Jesus. It really means that Jesus is atoning for our sins. He took the iceberg. He took our past. And it means that on that cross, he took what we deserved. That we will have forgiveness and we'll have a brand new life. The speaker last Sunday, he gave this analogy. He said, it's like fish in a river. When the fish is in the river, it lives. Take the fish out of the river, it dies. When we live a life, a self-centered life, we are out of the river and we will die. We are created to be in the presence of God. And that's the gospel. He died on the cross for our sins and he rose again. That through faith in him, my friends, your past can belong to the past and you can have a glorious future. And you can become a child of God. Finally, he said last Sunday, the third, how many remember the fourth P? It was presence. He says, it's a gift. It's a gift. Most religion says you have to do all these things, but the gospel it's really saying that I have something for you, and all you need to do is to believe it and surrender to that message. Surrender means I'm going to apply it. I'm going to apply it. What does the gospel do? It brings truth to your heart. And here, I'm going to end it with this. One of the greatest struggles causing you hit that iceberg the wrong way is your sense of value. It's your sense of value. It's your sense of knowing that you're unconditionally loved. And you see that value is settled at the cross. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Your value, your price is paid by his innocent blood. You are not abandoned. You are not forsaken. You are not a nobody. I listened to a young man who said when he was a young child, his parents divorced, and the mother said, it's your fault. When I was 12 years old, my parents divorced. And my father left to marry somebody else. And as a little child, a young man turning becoming a teenager, I now live with a mother who was depressed. And lonely. The foundation of the home had broken. And as a child, I walked away in my spirit with a sense, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me that my dad left? As I go to the healing lodge and I ask them, what do you think of when you look in the mirror? They're thinking, there is nobody who can ever love me. Look how I made a mess of my life. But when Jesus stepped out of heaven, he came with a message. I love you. Unconditionally, I shed my blood for you. That if you'll just receive it in your heart and apply it, I call you my own. I have chosen you to be my brother and sister in Christ as son and daughter of the Father in heaven. And I will deposit my spirit in you that you will never ever again be alone. You will never be forsaken. But you will walk in my presence every single day. And when the lies come to crack your foundation, you can go into my presence and worship me, and I will speak to you. I will tell you who you are. You are not what circumstances said. You are not what your addiction said. You are not what your teacher said. You are who I say you are. My friends, that is the essence of the gospel. That Jesus took the things that has cracked your foundation. He has taken the icebergs and he said, go face it right on. Because when you face it right on, you're saying, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I cannot save myself. I cannot remove this iceberg. But you can. And by his grace and mercy, he's more than willing to forgive you and take all your wrong choices and all your pain and all your shame and bring healing and wholeness, that you walk from this foundation to another one that will never crack, that will never break. He took my feet out of the miry clay and he placed it on the solid rock. And that rock, my friends, he's called Jesus. The gospel is words, but it's anointed words that opens your heart to facing the truth of the lies that is in you, so that the lies can be replaced with the reality of Jesus. My friends, there is no other way to salvation but through him. If you're my disciples and hang on to my teaching, Jesus says, you'll be set free. Let's stand. Can I help?